You're listening to Light of Christ with Pastors Tom and Paula Graves. We're so glad you've tuned in today, and we're gearing up to strengthen you and pull you into a richer, deeper walk of faith. Before we get started, we'd like to invite you to connect with us on Facebook. Our page is filled with encouragement and love, and by following us, you'll find these messages appearing in your own newsfeed. Join in on our conversations there and feel free to share your own page. You can search Light of Christ Radio on Facebook or follow the link you'll find at lightofchristradio.com. Without further ado, it's time to open up the scriptures and learn about the Creator who loves us and has rescued us from death. Thanks for being a part of our time here today on Light of Christ.
Welcome to the Light of Christ radio show with Tom and Paula Graves.
And this is a time of conversation between us, and we use a story of the Bible as a starting point.
Today we continue with our series. It's called The Footsteps of Moses, as we turn to Exodus, selected verses from chapter 19 and verse 20, with our theme for today, God wants to meet with you.
And if we think about it, God had freed his people from slavery in Egypt. Now, these were the people that were descendants of Abraham who had the covenant with God. And God had renewed this covenant with his son Isaac and his son Jacob. And Jacob was also known as Israel. Thus, we have the nation of Israel or the Israelites. And they had been in Egypt for 400 years in slavery.
God miraculously freed them. These people had seen and experienced the 10 plagues. Their firstborns had been saved by the Passover. They had walked through the Red Sea and on dry land and watched the water destroy the Egyptian army. God had provided water, manna, and quail. Our story begins about 3 months after they left Egypt.
And now a story from the Word of God. The Israelites came to Mount Sinai 3 months after they left Egypt. They set up camp at the base, and Moses went up the mountain to talk with God.
The Lord said, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Tell the people, if you obey me and keep my commandments, then you'll be my treasured possession. The whole world is mine, but you'll be my holy nation and serve me as priests."
When Moses told this to the people, they all agreed and said, "We'll do everything God says." So Moses went back up the mountain and told God that the people agreed to his conditions.
Then the Lord said, "I want them to hear me talking to you, so they always trust you. Tell them to spend 3 days cleansing their hearts and washing their clothes. Then I'll come down on the mountain and talk to them. Warn the people that they are forbidden to touch any part of the mountain. Anyone who does will be put to death. You may go up the mountain only after a signal is given on the trumpet."
So the people did exactly as they were told. They washed their clothes and dedicated themselves to the Lord. Suddenly, on the third day, the mountain burned with fire. The ground shook, and a cloud covered the entire mountain. There was thunder and lightning, and the people heard what sounded like trumpets that grew louder and louder.
Then God said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand." It was at this time that God gave them the Ten Commandments.
And then the people cried out, "Tell God to stop talking to us. We'll die if he keeps talking. Let him talk to you, Moses, and then you tell us what he said. We'll listen to you."
Moses said, "Don't be afraid. God wants you to stand in awe of him so that you'll stay away from sin." Then Moses went up the mountain to talk with God.
And this is a story from the Word of God.
Now, as we begin to look at our passages today, we see that God carried the people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, out of slavery in Egypt on eagle's wings.
Yeah, and we might wonder, what does that phrase really mean? But if we think about it, an eagle is really powerful. So's God. An eagle is a great parent. It protects and feeds its young. And God really had done that for his own people.
It's interesting that God really kind of swooped down like an eagle and really protected and drew the people up out of Egypt, just like the eagle swoops down.
Right. And the other interesting thing, if a young eaglet gets tired in flight, because obviously their nests are really high, the parent will swoop underneath it to catch it. And God was really doing the same thing for his people.
Now we think of ourselves in our own time that we can be mired down in slaves to sin. Mm-hmm. But that all changes when the Lord Jesus comes into our life and we become people of faith, because then God frees us from our sin.
Right, because God still carries us on his eagle wings. And remember, he's a Trinity. The Father goes before us daily. The Son has freed us from the slavery of sin through his work on the cross. And the Holy Spirit draws us to faith and empowers us and helps us worship, because really, God had wanted to meet with his people. That was the original reason they gave Pharaoh to leave Egypt, so they could worship their God.
Now, as you listen today, you may be mired down in sin, but God wants you to free you from your sin. And that means just calling out to God, asking God to forgive you, confessing your sins, and God will free you just like he freed the people in slavery that were down in Egypt.
And God freed his people for a purpose. Exodus 19:5, God's talking to Moses, and he says, "Now if you hear my voice, obey what I say, and keep my covenant, then you," he's meaning this message for the whole nation of Israel, "so then you, out of all the nations of the world, will be my treasured people. After all, the earth belongs to me." And he tells them, "You will be my kingdom of priests, a holy nation." Now, holy really just means set apart, because God has set them apart to demonstrate who he is to all the rest of the people on the earth.
And what God is really asking them to do is obey.
Mm-hmm.
Obey sounds simplistic, but we know it isn't. And we know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because the importance of obedience is that it opens doors for us in the kingdom.
Right, because if we aren't obedient, if the people there weren't obedient, they couldn't fulfill the purpose that God had for them. And it's the same for us today, that God has given each of us specific gifts. He has a plan for each of our lives and a purpose for us. But if we refuse to be obedient, God can't bring that to pass.
And that's why God calls us to pick up the cross and follow him. And we see Jesus taking up the cross in the literal sense, and he's crucified on Good Friday.
Right, because Jesus had to set aside his desires. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had said, "Not my will, but your will be done, Lord." And then the next day, he picks up his cross. And so as we begin to follow God, we have to set aside our desires, what we might want, and follow God's desires for us.
And that's really the hard part of life, because, you know, as people, we want to do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the world says, "Oh, go off and do this and do that, and God's not that big a deal." But we find out if we do those things, the enemy really lies to us, and our lives become really kind of in a downward spiral about us. We're not very fulfilling. We're kind of empty and lost.
And obviously, we can choose to obey God or not. But if we're having trouble, if we want to obey but having trouble to do it, we can always ask God to help us.
Right, just as I talked about earlier.
That Philippians 4:13 tells us, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Because sometimes we don't have enough strength on our own, but Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, can strengthen us.
And as we obey or want to obey, simply sometimes we need to ask, and I've certainly prayed a number of times, "Lord, help me to obey, because, Lord, I know a lot of times I don't want to." So I cry out to the Lord, "Lord, help me to do that." And we're really setting our heart that I'm going to do this. I want to do this, just like we see Daniel in the Old Testament, that he wanted to obey the Lord, and he did. But he made up his mind ahead of time.
Yeah, he did that ahead of time, because many times it's much better if we decide something when we're not in the middle of a crisis. We can think better. We can think more clearly. But if we delay that decision until we're in the middle of a crisis, then we probably won't follow God, because we're too stressed out to make a correct decision. But Daniel had decided ahead of time. We see that Moses going down to the people with a message from God, and they say, "Yeah, we're going to do everything the Lord commanded." So they are willing, at least, to be obedient at this point.
And when we set our heart to follow God, we need to realize that we're in a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is battling against us and continually tells us to disobey and to do your own thing. And so we have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And many times, just take one day at a time, or sometimes 1 hour or 1 minute at a time. What am I dealing with right now that, Lord, you want me to obey? Not necessarily this afternoon or next week. And also, we need to encourage others, because it's easy on our journey to be discouraged.
Right. And we also need to spend time in the Word of God, to meet with God one-on-one. Obviously, this whole story is about meeting with God, but God still wants to do that today because, really, it's easy to say the right words. It's easy to say, yep, I'll obey. Anybody can say it, but it's much harder to follow up with action. And I think if you really, truly set your heart on following God, that will show itself in action.
You know, that's such an amazing thing that God wants to meet with us. Yeah, we know that in our head. We can get it on an academic question. But the thought that the creator of the universe wants to meet with us on a regular basis, anytime we want, he's never too busy to listen to our prayers, to read his word and give us insight through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's such an amazing thing.
Yeah, because I think God wants a relationship. He wanted a relationship with his people in our story, and he wants a relationship now. If we look at our story, God had specifically designed a time and a place to meet with his people, and he'd kind of given them rules and guidelines on how to do that. And I think the people were probably really excited, and God wants to meet with us. And so as we set aside time every day to look in his word, to pray, to meditate on who God is, God begins to build that relationship with us.
And just as God calls us to worship him and be in worship, God is meeting with us.
And let's hold that thought, Tom. We'll return in just a moment with Light of Christ Radio Show.
We'll return shortly to the Light of Christ Radio Show. Are you in the Wisconsin Rapids area? If so, we'd love to have you join us for our Sunday morning service at Light of Christ Church. We meet at 10 a.m. each Sunday to learn from our Savior and worship together. Find out more at lightofchristradio.com. And now, here are Tom and Paula with the second half of today's show.
Welcome back to Light of Christ Radio Show with Tom and Paula Graves.
And we were just talking about how God wants a relationship, and we can see that God pursues his people. He pursues us, people throughout the Bible. We see him pursuing Jonah. And Jonah didn't want to do what he was supposed to, but God pursued him, and Jonah turned around.
And Peter was called into ministry to be a fisher of men, and he says to Jesus, go away from me, for Lord, I'm a sinful man. And the Lord says, come follow me.
And we see Paul, who persecuted Christians, getting knocked off his high horse on the road to Damascus, not even realizing who God was. Who are you, Jesus? Who are you, Lord? He said, and Jesus showed him. And then in Revelations, which is really a vision that John recorded, where Jesus came and spoke to John. And in Revelation 3, Jesus is saying, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne.
You know, it's interesting in this verse that Jesus is the one who does the knocking. He is the pursuer. It's not that the person got smart, that God pursues us because he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be people of faith. He wants us to fulfill the plans that he has for us.
And there's a famous painting. It's an older painting. I remember it hanging on my grandmother's living room wall. But Jesus is knocking on this wooden door. But the interesting thing is there's no handle on the door. So Jesus knocks, but the person has to open the door.
And so we're designed, as Paula was talking about, to be known by our Heavenly Father.
And he wants us to know him. He reveals himself just as he was revealing himself to the people of Israel in our story. He reveals himself through his holy word, through the testimony of others, through nature to us.
And so God comes to him. He's coming down in the mountain, but he sets up boundaries.
Yeah, and boundaries. None of us like rules. I think it's really part of our human condition. We just, if somebody gives me a rule, I just want to break it. And we can see that God sets up these boundaries, and I don't think he does it to be mean, to be arbitrary. I think he does it out of love.
He does it to protect us. I remember one time, a number of years ago, we were on a family vacation, and we were in the Black Hills, and we were in an area, we got out, the kids were going to run a little bit, and with some steep hills and cliffs, and you could fall off them. And there wasn't any barriers there.
No guardrails.
No guardrails. And my son comes running by me. He's like a kindergartner, going to be in kindergartner. And I grabbed him by the back of his shirt as he went by me, or he would have just gone right off this cliff, which wasn't too far away. It was very treacherous, and he had no idea. And I had to grab him. And that's sometimes what God does to us. He grabs us.
Yeah, our son wasn't very happy about it, but it actually, I think,
saved his life
because we didn't realize there was a steep drop-off right over this next hill. And I think that's what really God does for us. He's made us. He's created our human bodies. He knows our limitation. He knows what specifications, if you will, that we operate in the best. And if you've ever operated any instrumentation or machinery, you know that there's a range where this machinery works best. If you go out of that range, something's going to happen. It's going to break. It's not going to work well. And God does the same with us, that he gives us this rule. So we stay within the safe specs that he's designed for us.
Now think of for a minute, how has the Lord protected you through boundaries? You know, what would life be like if people didn't have boundaries, that people could come in and steal from your house or your car or do anything else if there wasn't any boundaries in society?
Right, because it's a safety issue, because God knew the people couldn't come up on the mountain until it was time, because he was so awesome and so holy that their little human bodies would not tolerate it. And so he gives them these boundaries out of love, out of protecting them. Just like you tell your child, don't touch the stove, not to be mean, but because you know if they do, they'll get burned.
Because God sets these boundaries because he's going to show his majesty.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a smoke and fire and noise coming down because God is coming down the mountain again. It shows us God's majesty.
Right. So it had to be. I'm sure the people were excited to meet God. But then when he starts coming down with all this
probably a little
stuff,
scary.
It was probably pretty scary to see the smoke and thunder and lightning and earthquakes and, oh, my goodness. But you might wonder, why would God do this?
God wanted to show that he was holy.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to show his majesty, his power. And so the people would have a fear of him, but in a positive way.
Right. And at the end of our story, Moses says, tells the people, don't be afraid. God wants you to stand in awe of him so you'll stay away from sin. So you really know who this God is and how important it is to be obedient.
And God is really saying, you know, this is serious business,
mm-hmm.
Of obeying me, staying away from sin, because God knows how destructive sin is.
And I think part of the problem is our limited human minds really can't comprehend who God really is, the awesomeness of God. He's obviously getting their attention. Because Proverbs 9:10 says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. He wanted them to know who he was so that they would be obedient, and by being obedient, would have better lives.
I remember I had this teacher one time when I was in the sixth grade. She was a phenomenal teacher, but she was very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came in the room, all monkey business stopped because everybody knew that she was a very good teacher, but she was a very serious person. But she had your best interest, and everybody really liked her, although she was very strict because people had respect for her and her authority.
Right, and you realized who she really was. And I think that's what God wanted his people to realize, that we tend to make God in our image because we want to understand him, so we make him too small.
But as we respect God and fear him in a positive way, we want to actually please God.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do what God says. And we know that we begin to understand the consequences of not doing that.
Right. And I think God has to be a big God, because it takes a big God to really sustain our faith, empower our living, to give us the confidence to face the hardships in this sinful world. British philosopher Evelyn Underhill had said, if God were small enough to be understood, he would not be big enough to be worshiped.
And so God revealed his power and majesty on the mountain in his story. And that must have really been something, the fire and the smoke and earthquake and all of those things going on. And he's displaying that in front of all the people that are at the base of the mountain.
And I think for us, we need ways to begin to understand how big God is. And I think the first way is probably just ask God to help you. Ask him for insight. But if you just even take a walk in nature and meditate on some Bible verses, God will begin to speak to you.
And there's nothing like natural revelation, going out in a very a dark night when the stars are out. And if you're someplace where you're away from city lights and you can see the Milky Way, it really points to the majesty of God. And again, that gives us insight into how great our Creator is.
And I think it's ironic that this God that we really can't comprehend, but he still wants a relationship with us. And he was the same God who stepped into time in the form of Jesus. And it was Jesus who said, no one cares for you more than someone who's willing to die for you.
And of course, we know Jesus did die for us on Good Friday, but he didn't stay dead.
Mm-hmm.
On the third day, he rose again on what we call Resurrection Sunday. And then he walked earth for 40 more days before he ascended into heaven.
And it was love that brought Jesus down. Jesus tells us in John 15, for the greatest love of all is to love a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends.
And that's what Jesus is. He's our Savior, and he is our friend.
And he wants this relationship. Again, he was God. He died for our sins. He was perfect. Things that we can't be, but he still wants this friendship. And he went on to tell his disciples, I haven't called you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants, but I call you my most intimate friends. And because he revealed to them who God was. And that happened when he walked the earth. But now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can reveal himself to us through the power of the Holy Spirit.
And through his word.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, as our theme for today is God wants to meet with you. And that is such a wondrous thing that God wants to meet with us. He wants to inspire us. He wants to encourage us. And maybe you're down today. You feel discouraged. And God is here as you listen. God wants to encourage you. He wants to encourage you to move forward. He wants to encourage you to pray. He wants to encourage you in your walk with him.
Because it's easy to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow. Yes, Lord, I'll obey. But sometimes as we begin this journey of faith, it becomes hard. And just like the people said, yes, we'll obey. And once they saw the awesomeness of God, they told Moses, this is too scary. You do it for us, Moses. That wasn't what God desired. He wants you to keep going, and he'll help you along the way.
Well, that's all the time we have today for Light of Christ Radio Show with Tom and Paula Graves.
This is the Light of Christ.
Thanks for joining us today for the Light of Christ Radio Show. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Tom and Paula Graves, we invite you to visit our website, lightofchristradio.com. Peruse our audio archive and download any messages you'd like to share with friends or family. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You'll find a link on the homepage. You can also hear these teachings on our mobile app, giving you access to truth from God's Word wherever you are and whenever you have time. Before our time is up with you today, we'd like to share some important information about how you can help support the Light of Christ Radio Show. Radio programs like this one are wonderful ministries that God uses to advance his kingdom here on earth. And as with any ministry, there are expenses involved. We know God is using the teachings we share here to reach many people, and we have a vision to grow that impact even more. Would you pray that we keep our eyes on our Creator instead of our own ambition? And would you prayerfully consider financially supporting the Light of Christ Radio Show? Every amount, no matter the size, is greatly appreciated and useful. There's more information on our website at lightofchristradio.com. Just click on the support link. Thanks for considering this with God. And thanks for being a part of our listening audience. Tune in next time for another compelling edition of the Light of Christ Radio Show.
just disappears. A need that's met as Christ is shown.